Psalms, chapter 12. Just want to look a little bit of what God thinks of his word. Verse 6. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Look at Psalm 138, 2. Verse 2, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." So first God says his word is pure as silver tried seven times, and he magnifies his word even above his name. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." So another characteristic of God is that he cannot lie. So his word is pure, purified seven times as silver. He magnifies it above his word, and that God cannot lie. And look at Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That's a pretty cool verse. So he's able, right? So his word is pure. He magnifies above his word. He can't lie. Which is good to know, right? Because, you know, a lot of us, we promise things, and you know, sometimes we don't always hold, you know, we don't always tell the truth. Or, yeah, you know, somebody could lie to you, right? But God always tells the truth, and he can't lie, which is great. So when he promises something, it can't be a lie. And in verse 20, it says that that him that is able, so he's able, he has the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 21. I want to look a little bit about believing. We're just going to look, I'm going to touch on believing a little bit here. God wants us to have everything that's available, everything he's given us, everything he promises, whatever is written, he wants us, but there's a few things he kind of needs us to do and wants us to do with believing. So let's look at in Matthew. I didn't even go there yet. We're all familiar verses. In 21 and 22. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith or believing, and doubt not, ye shall not only do which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." It's funny how he chose, like, I don't know, whenever I think of the mountain thing, I just think it's like really the most ridiculous thing in a sense, right? To see a mountain just be tossed into the sea. But he's really bringing a point that's saying, if you were able to, if, whether by revelation, but to that was actually believed, right? Not just said it, like, oh yeah, I believe. It could be tossed, in, it could be tossed into the sea, right? You know, I mean, it just goes to show you how important believing is. And God stresses that, because it's really a big foundation in his word that he wants us to believe him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so it's not just a prayer, it's also the believing, to believe him. Sometimes it seems difficult, I know in my life. In chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by believing. And in Hebrews 2:51, I'm sorry, what did I say?
51.
No, I'm sorry.
Verse 51.
No, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now believing is the, like, remember we were taught the title deed, right? Of things that you know, that they're ours before they're seen. As believers, you know, we believe God, an invisible God that we can't see, and we believe his written word. It's pretty cool. It's not like just believing something that you could see. You can't see it. That's why, like God, like Donnie said, about him delighting. It's pretty delightful that we have that trust, that God sees. Like, we're reading something, and we don't even see God, but yet we're saying, you know what, I believe it's true, you know? And you're going to bring it to pass, or whatever it is in the word, you know? It's pretty cool. So believing is God saying, look, it's yours, you know? It's the title deed. The evidence of things not seen, believing is the title deed. And then in verse 6, it says, but without faith or believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And in just back a few pages, Hebrews 4, verse 2. And I'm just hitting different angles of believing, like, you know, prayer and believing, and about not believing, or how it pleases God when we believe. And here it says in verse 2 that, for unto us was the gospel preached, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, right? So, you know, you're seeing how this believing is when we hear the word and when we read the word and it's very important to have believing. And God wants that for us. He wants us to believe him, you know? He wants everything God promises. He wants us to have. He wants us to, things we already have, you know, to excel at these things. He wants that in our life. You know, I think of, all right, so this is something I thought of. So you think of your name, right? Your name. You were born, somebody gave you a name. Let's pick. Who am I going to pick? Donnie.
Oh.
I was going to get John. So Donnie's born, and as he's growing up, everybody's calling him Donnie, right? And he's like, okay. So at a certain point, he realizes his name is Donnie. And through life, there's nobody fighting against him to say his name isn't Donnie, right? So everywhere he goes, he tells somebody his name is Donnie. They call him Donnie, and his whole life. How hard is it for Donnie to believe his name is Donnie right now? Right? There's no thinking. He doesn't force it. He doesn't wake up in the morning and say, all right, my name's Donnie. God, that's my name is Donnie. He doesn't do any of that because it's so ingrained in his mind, right? Think about it. He's always been called Donnie. No one went against him. So he wasn't fighting, saying, no, my name is Donnie. No, it's not Tom. It's Donnie. It was just easy because it was like that. Well, with the word, it's a little different because we're reading the word and trying to believe it. And God saying same thing like a promise, right? You're a son of God or you're whatever it is. The difference is that the whole world is telling you something different, right? Mm-hmm. Every negative thing, every fear, everything. But even nowadays, I mean, come on, you see what's going on. I mean, it's crazy. But it's all the negatives coming at you. And the opposite, you know, telling you need this, you need that, you can't do that, you can do this. This is what's going to happen. The fears, the doubts, the worries, all these things. So to believe, you know, I think of another thing I was thinking of, you know, when we got into word, remember the retemeries? Mm-hmm. How many retemeries do you still remember? Like, I can literally remember from, what was it, Laura, 30? 87, so
you were probably.
So 35 years ago, I can literally remember. And I think of Dr. Werewolf, like, saying, you know, like, over and over and over, he's certain, like, I can do all things. And there's a reason for it. It's not because we're freaks. It's because the more you ingrain it in your head, whatever it is how you're going to get to that point where it's not a doubtful, you know, trying to believe it. It's just ingrained in there, like your name. He doesn't wake up. He doesn't have to even think about it. It's just there. Jesus Christ walked like that, right? He learned the word, but he just knew who he was, what he had to do, and everything to do with God. He knew. There was no doubting. When the devil came at him, it was boom, boom, this is written. Boom, 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 this is what I am. He didn't go back and forth, you know, really. Anyway, and this one verse, like here, real quick, is Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is literally what I was just saying. I should have probably went here first, but 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That takes a lot of work to do that, living in the world, you know? I mean, it does, so... You know, even in the Old Testament, they say, like, you know, like, bind it on. Remember, it was just like a meditation where you just stick it in front of your face. Think about it, think about it, think about it. But there's a reason. It's not because we're weirdos. Or it's like you're some far-fetched. It's not. It's so that way, when the adversary tells you something different, or the devil comes at you with something different, you already set your foundation that you believe. Whatever it is. Now, we're going to look at a few just simple things that we all know. But just think of that in light of how God doesn't lie. His words are pure. He magnifies his word above his name. And he's able, right? He's able to do these things. And we know that God wants us to believe his word. Now, look at Philippians. So just a few of God's promises. Chapter 4, because sometimes I find it hard to believe, like, I don't understand why, you know, it's not a magic show, it's not like you go, you know, like that, it's not that, it's like believing your name, you know, it's what it is. How do you get to the point where you can believe the word like you believe your name is John, or Donnie, or Rube? Or Terry, right? Or Chris. You know, like, how do you get to that point where there's just not a doubt? There's no doubt. You know, you just don't doubt your name is Donnie, right? You just don't. You know, that's where, you know, God wants us, which is, you know, where, that's why the return memories are really ingraining a certain thing. So, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, says, be careful for nothing, which we know is be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, God wants us to be anxious for nothing, right? And He wants us to go to God with prayer, which we all do. I mean, we all do that. And make known unto God. And that peace of God, you know, like we could do this every day, all the time we could do this. That we know that when we go to God, that we could just know He's taking care of it. And we can have that peace. He wants this for us. But this is something we have to tell ourselves over and over and over, right? So you just know there's not a doubt. You're going to give it to Him. And you're going to go to Him and you're going to thank God. And we're just going to have that peace. We could have that peace in our heart. And we don't have to have all the understanding. See, sometimes, don't you want to, I know me, I always want to know the details. Okay, God, thank you, I appreciate you. Oh, yeah. Now, how are we going to do this? Right away, how are we going to do this? What are we doing? We're going here, we're going there, we're going this, we're doing that. I got to buy this. Should I get this? Should I call this person? You know, right away. It doesn't even say to do that. We do that. I do that. I don't know about you. I do that. I got to know all the details. Right away. You know? But it's just saying no. It's just, you know, the peace in our heart. He's going to relax. Just give it to Him. Pray. You gave it to Him. And, you know, that's what He wants for us. You know, He doesn't want us to be anxious. I'm anxious. Too much, you know? Verse 13, since we're here. This is a little different, but I can do all, and I think it was in Manifestations or Donnie mentioned it, or in a song or something, I don't know. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Like, this is something like that retemory thing I think of, you know, yeah. How, can you imagine living day by day, and maybe you do, so actually I shouldn't say that. Can I imagine myself living every day where I knew in my heart, not, you know, really knew in my heart, that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know? I knew that God was in me, and He's never going to let me down, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know? That's available. Oh, and the other thing, I didn't bring this up. So, one time with my business, and it was not Donnie or Perry. It was another believer. No, I'm just saying, it wasn't them. We were talking about, like, billing customers, you know, and prices and stuff. And, you know, and they said, you know, you got to charge more. You just have to charge more, bro. When you go to an account, you got to, and the funny thing is, I never even really thought of this, and they said, you have a comfort zone. You're comfortable here. And when you go out of that comfort zone, you don't feel comfortable there. You know, when you change, like, not habits, but, you know, it's almost an uncomfortable feeling because you've always been here and now you're going here, you know? So I was like, yeah, that's true. I said, that's really true. Like, why am I uncomfortable to go to a place where I haven't been yet, you know? And, but I was thinking that sometimes it's a word, you know? We get all the years we've been in the Word, and we've done things a certain way, and then sometimes maybe we need to shake it up a little bit, you know, with ourselves. That's how I feel. Like, just think of how we could take it to the next level. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because everything has habits. You develop habits, habit patterns, comfort zones. Like, that's what I was saying about the comfort. You're just used to doing things a certain way. But maybe there's more. Maybe, you know, and when we look at these verses, these next few verses, only a couple left, but I was thinking, wow, we could take... So the other thing I thought of is we have so much word. Like, it's, it, you know, like what we know, like even if there's so much more to know, right? I'm sure there is. Like, I think of John. He's like a walking Bible, right? I mean, he does. I mean, he knows. I never know even, not even probably a percent of what he knows. But on the other hand, I'm thinking what we do know, even if it's a little bit, imagine believing what we know. I mean, really believe in just, so the few verses, like you believe them, what, how would it affect our lives? You know, I mean, how would our lives change? Just what we know already. And just take it to levels we haven't experienced. So then in verse 19, right here, it says, but God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory of Christ. That's a great verse to believe. Every day, you never think about it. Yeah, God's going to take care of it. God supplies all our need. You know, I would love to be, we all, you know, I try, but that's a great verse to just really take home. And verse, I mean, I'm sorry, chapter 2, go back, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if we think of believing, it's not something you're believing for, it's just believing, right? You know, you're believing. God is working in us. Every day we could think of that, you know. We could think God is working, working in us. That's a pretty cool verse. And then Colossians chapter 3. I mean, this kind of said this in Philippians too, but verse 15 it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Just let that peace of God. God wants us to live with peace in our heart. And I'm sometimes not good at that. Because a lot of things, you can ask Lori, a lot of things really bother me about what's going on, say in the world or in our country. And it really bothers me more than it ever did before. You know, like sometimes knowing too much is maybe not a good thing when it's, you know, it's like the knowledge of good and evil. It's like sometimes maybe we should just, I just need to focus on what's good, you know, because it can steal your peace, you know. Lori can attest to that. So Colossians 1. We're just about done here. Chapter 1, verse 9, we're going to read just from 9 to 14. I was thinking of some of God's desire for us and what he wants us to have and what's available. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's pretty cool. You know, he wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and all spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. He wants us fruitful in our lives. He wants our lives to be fruitful. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. We are delivered. We already are delivered. So if we don't feel delivered, we just need to change our thinking. That's all it is, because it says we are, hath been delivered, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Some pretty cool stuff. And I wanted to close in, I just thought we'd close in John chapter 10. Just some things God wants for us to have, some things we already have. We just need to believe them. John 10:10. There's another this was another retemery, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I think, right? There's certain verses. I just always remembered them, you know, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, from the retemeries from 30 something years ago. Just because we remember we had the little cards?
Yeah.
Do we still have them? They still have them, right? I think. Right. But they're pretty cool. Anyway, Jesus is speaking, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, that's pretty cool. Like, that's what God wants. Part of it was obviously getting the Holy Spirit. You know, that gave us all the power and the fullness of God and the eternal life and all the blessings. But, you know, God, you know, he wants us, I mean, he came that we have life more, not abundant. We'd be blessed to live an abundant life, mm-hmm. anybody would, yeah. but more than abundant, you know. And, you know, that's, I just think of how much is available to us, even being in the Word for so long. I mean, you guys, we've all been in the Word a while, I think, everybody here. But just thinking how much is available for us to, I don't know. It just overwhelmed me a little bit when I was thinking about some things, you know. I was just thinking how good God is and how much he wants for us and how blessed he just gets so blessed and delighted for us to be in his word and all the promises he's given us and he wants us to have and enjoy and not worry, you know, and have peace and all our needs supplied. And on top of that, everything he says, he doesn't lie. You know, he can't lie. So the promises are real. So that's it.